and bow to Buddha as well as to your enemy. But my disciple or student said, yes, I have followed your instruction. However, when I see or meet that person, I still dislike him. Then I told him, well, you haven't reached a perfect state yet. So keep bowing, keep prostrate to that enemy. In Confucianism, he says, the compassionate one has no enemy. In Buddhism, we have similar words, which says, loving kindness, compassion will have no obstacles. The second great vow is to praise the Tathagata. All 10 great vows are geared to restore the true mind and original nature, and to perfect the Buddhahood. If one understands this, one will put into practice very diligently. For ordinary people in daily life, we use wandering mind a lot. In order to obtain or have the true mind totally revealed, we must practice not worry to be cheated or take advantage by others. Even with being cheated and taken advantage by others, it's only 30, 40, 50 years, then it's over. And because of the sincerity, willing to be taken advantage by others, we end up to be born into the Pure Land. So the advantage people taking from us help us tremendously to eradicate our bad karma, accumulate good merits, and with that, we are born into the Pure Land, so we are truly benefit from other people's taking advantage of us. So if you are truly and sincerely wish to cultivate, you must not worry about being taken advantage by others. And then your true mind eventually will totally reveal. Because if you're constantly protecting yourself with the wandering mind's fears, then the true mind will be blocked or covered, and you cannot open, your mind cannot be opened up as great as the universal worthy Bodhisattva. The Tathagata mentioned here, instead of Buddha, are they any different? Yes. If you study the Diamond Sutra, you probably will be noticed the subtle differences. When talk about Tathagata, it refers to the nature of the mind. When talk about Buddha, it refers to the appearances, which is the application or function out of the mind, out of the nature. So the second great vow is to praise Tathagata. The good virtue out of a person, we need to praise them, because the good virtue corresponding to the nature of the mind. For a bad person, since they have potential to become Buddha, then we need to respect but not to praise them. We only praise the good things other people do, but not the bad things. In the Universe Sutra, the main character, San Tai Tongzi, he traveled around and learned from 53 different teachers. He prostrated to every single one of those teachers and he prays to a lot of them with three exceptions. There are three teachers that he did not praise to. First one was Tanda Brahman, which represent ignorance or stupidity. So San Cai Tongzi pay great respect to this teacher, but without praise. The second teacher was Nectar Fire King, which is a representation of anger. Again, San Cai Tongzi pay great respect to this person or teacher, but without praise. The third person was Su Fa Duo Lady. This lady represents a lady with strong sexual desire. Again, San Cai Tongzi pay great respect without praise. So if we praise other people, good person or bad person, for their good deeds, then we are encouraging the good virtue which corresponding to our to the Buddha nature. And for the bad things out of a person, we just be aware of it, but will not praise that bad nothing which is not corresponding to our nature. The third great vow is to cultivate all offerings. Here we use the word offerings instead of almsgiving or giving away. There's a subtle difference. Offerings is to give away with great respect, usually used in a situation or occasion to respectful ones. And give away as almsgiving usually refers to individuals that's not superior. Then we use the word give away or almsgiving. But for Bodhisattva to reach even higher level, they want to broaden up their mind, so they treat all sentient beings, superior or not superior, with highest respect. So the thing they give away in their own mind is grand offering. So they want to expand this mind to an infinity. By expanding the mind, by expanding the activity of offering, by expanding the situation of offering. And this situation is offering to all sentient beings. And that is the practice and infinite broaden up mind of the universal worthy Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. The fourth great vow is to repent one's karmic obstacles. Sentient beings are different than Buddha, and the differences that are karmic with or without karmic obstacles. All sentient beings, no matter how high or how low, in the nine different Dharma realms, all have karmic obstacles. Only Buddha has totally eradicated karmic obstacles. So to be a Buddhist and practice Buddha Dharma is basically eradicate the karmic obstacles. The word repentance in Chinese, we have another word very similar. So we translate the word, simply use repentance. That's enough to address this word. But the meaning does not mean we made a mistake, we knelt down before Buddha, we honestly tell Buddha what we have made mistake, what mistake we have made, and please forgive me. This is not repentance of repenting one's karmic obstacles. The true repentance is vow not to make the same mistake again. Many people misunderstand the terminology of enlightenment. They thought it's very supreme high goal. The simple enlightenment, and it's achievable, is to realize the mistake we made. If you can realize or be aware of the mistakes, that is, in my mind, enlightenment to that, in that respect. And then make corrections to get rid of that kind of mistake once for all is repentance. And the repentance in such a manner is a true cultivation. That's why I encourage you to read or recite the Infinite Life Sutra. And the purpose of that is to use the sutra as a mirror by reading the sutra, particularly chapter 33 to chapter 37 on a daily basis. We can examine ourselves that we are making the mistake as mentioned in those chapters or not. Because the mistake we can make easily are well described in chapter 33 to chapter 37. And the purpose of reciting or reading that sutra before Buddha is not to let the Buddha hear our chanting voice, but to read and be aware about our behavior and be aware of our body, speech, and mind. Before there was a heated debate about whether to be born in Buddha land, the karma should be eradicated or does not need to be eradicated. Some people say only to eradicate the karma, one can be born into Buddha's pure land. And their statement was, if you carry karma, karmic obstacles, you cannot be born into Buddha's pure land. This is a total misconcept. The unique characteristics of the Pure Land school is by believing in Buddha's great compassion and vows and practice through the holy name, repeating of the holy name, even though the karma, the bad karma are not totally eradicated, you can be born into the Pure Land. This unique characteristics does not exist in other schools or sects. And also described in the Pure Land Sutras, once a person or the being is born into the Pure Land, there are four stages of Pure Land, three types of be able to born there, and nine different spiritual levels. in the Pure Land. So if one carries more karmic obstacles, then one will be born in a relatively lower level of the Pure Land. And likewise, if one carries less karmical obstacles, then one will be born into a higher level of the Pure Land. If you ask, is anybody who has no karmic obstacle in the Pure Land? Yes, there's only one person, Amitabha Buddha himself. Even the Guanyin Bodhisattva and great spiritual power Bodhisattva Mahasattva and all other great Bodhisattvas, they all have one small portion and very subtle fundamental ignorance not totally eradicated. A famous patriarch in a Pure Land school has said an excellent statement: to be born into the Pure Land or not, completely depending on the face, whether the face and the vows are sincere or not. To be born into the Pure Land with a high spiritual level or not depends on the diligence in chanting Buddha's name. If you have great vows and belief and faith toward Amitabha Buddha, and that will give you assurance to be born into the Pure Land. And the next is up to your practice. More practice in chanting Amitabha's Buddha name, more bad karmas are being eradicated, and you can be born into the Pure Land with higher spiritual level. The fifth great vow is to join other virtues, to always support others' virtues. Ordinary people has jealousy which contained or hidden in the mind of hatred. And the jealousy is one of the serious vexations which block oneself from becoming a Buddha. And therefore, to reach Buddhahood, this jealousy mentality must be removed. And to practice this is simply helping others. Because if you help others, eventually you are helping yourself. And the reason is, others and ourselves are the same. Every sentient beings are Buddha, are no different. They all share the same Buddha nature. So the true meaning to always joy others' virtue is something we practice to eradicate the jealousy mentality. The sixth great vow of the universal worthy Bodhisattva Mahasattva is the request of turning of the Dharma wheel. Although all sentient beings have the potential to become Buddha because they have the Buddha nature, but the nature cannot be revealed by itself. It needs the proper Dharma, Buddha Dharma, to make sentient beings understand, practice, and finally reveal their own original potentiality as a Buddha. And that's why the request turning of the Dharma wheel is a very important virtue. when one makes such a practice to request the turning of Dharma wheel, then people in this neighborhood or area are able to listen to the proper Dharma with the understanding of the proper Dharma. The wisdom can come out, and with wisdom one eventually transcends the infinite cycle of life and death and perfects one's Buddhahood. So to be a good disciple or student of the Buddha Dharma, we need to frequently request good knowledgeable teachers to teach us about a sutra or Buddha Dharma. I remember it was about over 10 years ago, Mr. Ge Guangming invited me to Dallas to give lectures on Buddhism. And that night, or that day, was heavy rain, I still remember. And that's the very beginning of my karmic relationship with people in Dallas. From that time on until today, many sutras, videotapes, and all kinds of teaching materials, pictures, and so on and so forth are available not only to Dallas, but to almost every corner of the place that Buddhism was popular, that Buddhism was believed by those people who have interest in Buddhism. And this is a tremendous merit. By request the turning of Dharma wheel, the proper knowledge in the Buddha Dharma will make one understand and practice properly and eventually obtain the supreme benefit. The seventh great vow is to request the Buddha to remain on earth. That's the translation to the letter, to the word, literally. Human beings, although have Buddha nature, although has capability to listen to the sutra, but just by listening to it once, or listen to one type of sutra, very few of them, or maybe none of them, can be enlightened. And therefore, to have a good, knowledgeable teacher to remain with us and constantly give the Dharma teaching so that students or disciples will have a thorough understanding and eventually put into the practice and obtain the good results or even enlightenment. There are people, whether at home or home living life or still as a lay person, they made a strong mind to practice on a full-time basis. They remain in one place and not traveling around. A great knowledge, good knowledgeable person that can benefit the sentient beings. In the beginning, they stay in one place and practice for themselves, improve themselves, not only from the knowledge, but also in their behavior. And after some time, if their practice has reached a very good state, then the natural causes and condition will make this person known to people in that neighborhood, and he will be coming out to spread the teachings and benefit other sentient beings, other people. There's one thing that ancient people or practitioners do not have that we can enjoy. That is, in the ancient time, if a good, knowledgeable teacher does not stay with them for longer time, they cannot hear proper Dhamma. But today, the world is so advanced with the improvement in modern technologies. Even though the teacher may not be here, as long as the videotapes, audio tapes are available, we can frequently play these tapes and constantly learning from the tapes about the Buddha Dhamma, then we are constantly improving ourselves. So when I'm not here in the center, but if the tape can be played on a daily basis, you can still making daily progress in your cultivation. As a teacher, there is a necessary use of my physical body. Even though we send books and tapes to many places, by just reading the books, those people who do have interest but still do not have strong faith or belief or proper understanding. And that's why after sending or distributing the books and tapes, I need to travel around to those places and explain to them the proper Dhamma to strengthen their faith toward the Buddha Dhamma. And the Buddha Dhamma is basically the key statements or the key concepts that I have mentioned so far. They are the three felicities, six harmonies, three steps of prayer cultivation, six paramitas, and 10 great vows. These are not just for recitation, but to be put into practice. And I anticipate and sincerely wish every one of you give yourself 10 years of time to put these virtues into practice so that these virtues become a part of your thought, a part of your life in a natural manner. Just by talking about Buddhism philosophy serve no purpose. Put into practice, change our body and mind and speech around is the true benefit that we should all seek for. The eighth great vow is to always follow Buddha's examples. This guideline is a teaching to all great bodhisattvas, to the 41 different high-level bodhisattva mahasattvas. They are marching into the immolation of rudimental ignorance. Buddha's ceremony praise Amitabha Buddha said that Amitabha Buddha is the supreme light among all lights, is the top of all Buddhas. And that's why in our ceremony books, one sentence to praise Buddha Amitabha, and that sentence states, for all Buddhas in 10 directions and 3 times, Amitabha Buddha is number one. For us, the practitioner, how to always follow Buddha's example? Simply read or recite the Infinite Life and Sutra, because that's the teaching from Buddha directly. We constantly recite and constantly put into practice, then we are constantly follow Buddha's example. with this good effort and proper approach, how can we not to be born into Buddha's Pure Land? We need to share the same mind as Buddha Amitabha, the same vows as Amitabha Buddha, same virtues as Amitabha Buddha, and conduct the same type of Dhamma activities as Buddha. Then you are totally dissolved into Buddha, and you are bound to be born into the Pure Land. Once you are born into the Pure Land of the ultimate bliss, then you can practice all kinds of Dhamma, learning all kinds of methods, and reach supreme lighthood, Buddhahood, quickly. And that's simply because you were born there and able to live in infinite life, like Buddha Amitabha. And that's why, as a human being in this world, we have very limited experience.